to heal the breach. I'm going to take some selected verses from the Parsha for this week. Go look it up. I suggest you read it. It's comprehensive. It's the eagle's eye overview of the scripture. Father, we thank you for all the things that you're doing. We thank you and praise you in the name of Yeshua and by his blood-stained garments and hands, Lord, and feet and side that was wounded for our transgressions, that our stripes were held upon the back for our iniquities. His back. Lord, we just press in and know who is like you, Lord. There is no one keeping covenant with those who love you for 1,000 generations. In Yeshua's name, anoint the ears and the hearts and the eyes to see and hear and understand, and to set their hearts aright before you, Lord, to humble themselves under your mighty hand as we begin to enter the season of great repentance, of blowing the shofar for 40 days until Yom Kippur, and the days of the high holy days, which speak of your return in the millennial kingdom. Thank you, Abba. This is just some, how do we say this? Revelation is the spirit of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. So I've been looking again into the idolatrous this week works of the Kabbalist book. I suggest you read Kabbalah, the secrets is secret mysticism. It's actually Luciferian worship. Let's call it what it is. And then also The Treasures of Darkness, which is really a powerful little book. It's not very well known because it takes a select few and a great deal of maturity in spiritual warfare and discernment to even begin to understand it. In other words, it's meat, and most of the body of Christ is on milk. And they're like little babies, little toddlers running around playing soldiers. And all the while, God is behind them saying, okay, that's great, but it's time to come into your manhood, your maturity, your womanhood, your full rightful authority in the King when your obedience has been made complete. And obedience is not by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. That's where the spirit, these eye gates and ear gates, come into the heart, to the innermost sanctuary of the temple that man is, where his Holy Spirit dwells. All right. Deuteronomy. And this is so much. Oh my gosh. Deuteronomy. It was actually in Deuteronomy, I think it was 9, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. God goes over why he chose the Hebrews. So here it is. Deuteronomy 7. When you go into the land, you are forbidden to make deals, covenants with the people of the land, or give your daughters in marriage, because they're idols, and they will turn you away from God. And the reason is, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to him, himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore that the Lord, Your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandment to 1,000 generations. And we go on verse 9, chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, you're going to pass over the Jordan now, finally, after 40 years of whining and complaining and wanting the leeks and onions of Egypt. And we don't like camping. It's really hard, Lord, to go camping all the time for 40 years. I mean, come on. God will destroy your enemies before you, as long as you keep yourself holy. Okay, when you're not holy, when you're slipping up, and we do slip up, you go to immediate repentance. Okay? Because the enemy has an access into you and you lose your authority. You lose your authority. It is not unconditional authority in the body of Christ. If you study the seven churches, I have this against you. And I'm going to, you know, that woman Jezebel, she's teaching my servants to commit sexual immorality. And there are different versions of sexual immorality, especially in this day of perversions in the church. There's counterfeit emotional relationships. There's counterfeits tying and binding people to the pastors. And they become the worship, you know, they worship the leaders. They teach the flock to worship them. They've been given the worship to the chief shepherd. They've usurped him for their ministries. And they do not have the heart of God. Oh, they have a heart. The sloppy agape, I call it, heart. But the true heart of God is in 1 Corinthians 13. This is where you're crucified when you deal in relationship with this person, especially the immature. And if you're immature, if you're mature and you're called into a body and God is dealing with you, you better be careful. I'm telling you as I live and breathe. Don't talk to me about, oh, we're getting closer and closer. You better not. You better have healthy, holy boundaries. And borders, as my little Dutch friend says. Holy borders. And she cuddled with a little friend of hers, and God convicted her. A man friend, by the way. He's normal heterosexual. Very prophetic. And God convicted her. You don't be doing that. You don't be going touching and cuddling and doing all that stuff, because it stirs up things that are not appropriate. Maybe not in you, because you're so holy and self-righteous. You don't deal with those things. But it stirs it up in other people. And shame on you if you've caused them to sin. Shame on you. Oh, that's their problem. No, it's not. It's your problem too. And you better watch these people who exalt themselves over the flock. Better watch them. Because most of them that are senior have gotten there, most of them through lordship, not through servanthood. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that says, they knew God's will, but they didn't know his ways. Oh yeah, it's God's will. Let's go over the Jordan, man. You know, we can make it, we can hang out with the Moabites and take their women and have sex with them and start worshiping their gods at the doors of the tent. And Pincus came and ran them through because it brought a plague. And oh, that woman Jezebel, back to her. Yeah, she teaches my children to, you know, eat food, sacrifice, tithes. It's okay. It's okay. You know how many people I've confronted with, what do they call that? Oh, halal meat. It's like kosher meat, only it's the Islamic version. It's been offered up to Allah. It's food sacrificed to idols. And are they teaching that in the church? No. We're just kumbaya, get along with all Muslims. You know, they're not the religion of war. The itchy double hockey sticks, they aren't. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So this woman, Jezebel, God gave her time to repent for her lewdness and her platform, you know, seduction. Oh, she looks pious. You know, she looks free. She has an external appearance. But if you have the word of God, it discerns between what? Joint and marrow? Spirit and soul? Discerning even the motives of the heart? And she's ambitious for a following in her ministry. And she has put her hand and touched the Ark of the Covenant and those who belong to God. She has touched his glory. And he will slay her on her bed. And death will follow her children. Unless she repents. It's got a short window here, folks. Short. Short. Let's look. How is God going to heal the breach between Israel, which is, by the way, you guys, you know, all of Israel shall be changed. We're talking to the you know, the mystic church over the ages since Adam and Eve. I should say over the, what is it, 6,000 years. Coming on to 7. All of us who were in Adam's loins. And not all of us were in Adam's loins, folks. Okay. So let's go back to God going over what's going to happen. In Deuteronomy, you know, from like 9, 10, 11 to 12. He overgoes the history and the backsliding and how you need to have Deuteronomy 12, you need to observe when you're in the land, okay, that your fathers gave to you to possess it all the days you live upon the earth. You know, you have to follow these statutes and judgments. And you're to destroy all the places where the nations which you should possess it serve their gods. So we've got a few up here. Okay, so where I live in the desert, there's a strip, if you look at it. The southwest is burning. But there's a strip here, up in the high desert, and it's rains and rain and rain and rain and rain, and it's green, and there are still some idol worshippers here. They got to go. We've been praying against them. They're going to be uprooted. They're being removed. Because here we sit in the rain, and everybody else is sweltering, and they're dying, and it's hot. Well, this is just the way it's always been. No, it's not. God told me 3 years ago, it was actually 3.5 years ago, on leap year, February, leap day, February, when I crossed through the deserts, so I caused the desert to bloom. Well, certainly wasn't in Apache Junction in Phoenix. It was dying and withering on the vine. It's under a curse and it will burn with fire because the occult is so heavy there. So, after about 6 months there, I ended up where I am now in the high desert, up in the highlands. But I'm a mountain gal anyway. And it's, the desert is blooming. And there's water everywhere. And we know that water is the blessing of the Lord. The rain, the former and the latter rains are the blessing of the Lord. You keep the feast of the Lord. The Moedim, the meeting place, the appointed time. I don't mean church on Sunday. this social gathering where you get a watered down, you know, milk sermon, because it's catered towards the lowest denominator. You know, you got to make sure everybody gets it. If you want to run with the elders, I'm not talking your designated offices, you know, your assignments that you took on. All right. I have counseled against those who brought the truth. I heard it. You ever see Elijah? How come he knows everything that's going on? Well, he was in the spirit. And he was in the king's chamber and he heard their plans. And it's not astral travel. It's not astral projection. That's the occult counterfeit version of it. It's the God wants you to know this because you need it. He's releasing this information to you because it's part of the calling and the bringing of the word of the Lord, or the destiny of the purpose. God is not frivolous. It's not like the occult that's seeking power in order to control and have materialism, wealth, and seduction, and deception, and lust. Yeah. Jezebel. There's lots of it in the church. There's so much of it that when the real thing comes along, people don't even know it because it's so rare. All right. We are to obey God's commandments. Ten Commandments, when you violate them, you have opened the door for other spirits to influence you. Just repent. Get it right. And if there are other people involved, you need to go and make restitution. You need to humble yourself and say, I was out of order. You need to set it straight. Oh, well, love causes a multitude of sins. Yeah, but you also have lost your position of authority. And counsel. You are compromised. Boy, the devil loves it. You know, don't give me a holy Christian. Don't give me somebody who's holy, who's following after Yeshua. Because that's when the scripture, all authority has been given to me. And I'll give it to you as you walk with him, my paraphrase, right? To tread on the heads of serpents and scorpions. And to drink poison and it won't affect you. In other words, healing. And this is a very conditional place of authority. You don't give your kindergartner the key, car keys. You know, it's wreckage everywhere. You don't give a PhD. You know, to somebody who just got out of fifth grade. You know, give them that title. Well, what's going to happen, Kathleen? Well, God desires to heal the breach. Because the whole earth and all of creation is groaning under the weight of man's sin. Through the rebellion of Satan. And the influence that he has brought on humankind. And they're groaning to be delivered. How's God going to heal the breach? How's it going to be when they go to Jerusalem and say, well, it says in Matthew 24 and 25, and, you know, Jesus said, when they say, that is the leaders, the vipers, he just called them the vipers, their fathers, their grandfathers, the priesthood, which was supposed to handle the law and rule on the government. They were to be governed by God's law. It was to be God's kingdom. It was to be God's city. Not till they say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, will I return. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Instead, they killed him. He wept. They killed him. We're going to kill this guy. Because guess what? We were stewards over his vineyard. And we took it over. And his heir. And we don't want him to have his inheritance. What? The leaders in the church don't want Jesus to have his inheritance? That they're enslaving them to their ministries? And their personal vision fantasies? You got that right. Listen up. Did you hear what I said? These are soulish visions brought out about their corrupt ambitions in their heart because they lust in an indirect way over after power. They're not there as servants. Do you see them serving? Well, I'm going to give you counsel. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to load you up. Because guess what? The pastor's wife is lusting over some single guy over there. But she won't admit it. But God sees her heart. And you went into the bedchamber in the spirit. And you heard what they said. And you went into their house in the spirit because it was not, you didn't ask to go there. I didn't ask to go there. And you saw what was going on in their house. And out of mercy, you called them out of it because the church was so screwed up. And they wanted you. They wanted to harness you. And your anointing and your gifting, you didn't even have to have the anointing, you just had to have the gifting. But you, we'll say you had an anointing also. And they want to harness you to further their ministry chariot. So they could be somebody, because they didn't want to be nobody. But Jesus emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. He even washed his disciples' feet to make them clean. He even was nailed to the cross. He was given the death of a criminal and he was completely innocent for your sins. And you want to parade around and think you're somebody? And that we should all be closer? No, we shouldn't. You should have proper borders and boundaries. Don't lay your hands on anybody suddenly. Lest you partake in their sin. Because there is spiritual transference. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You go look at it. First, top of the list is sexual immorality. It is a spirit that transfers. Okay? And it's like a glass of water. It's clean and pure. That's the Holy Spirit. You put some ink in it. The whole glass of water is turned by that sin. The whole body that you're fellowshipping, you're drinking sins of lust and sexual perversion. Okay? And immorality and entertaining these thoughts. And feelings because you touch somebody inappropriately. Now you're a partaker of their sin. You get it? See, every other country except for this one, just about, even in Europe, even in Italy, the men and women sit on the other sides of the aisle. Because they're going to be lusting after each other in church. These guys know what they're doing. It's the same in Jerusalem, except for the evangelical churches and some of the European churches, and especially the Western ministries. And that would include Australia, folks, and South Africa, because they're Western, and they're imprimatur, they're print. You know, you have a print, like a fingerprint, a thumbprint, from those that are leading you. And you're going with them. And they've told you what? And they think they have the counsel of God? Really? Really? Tell me. Will you tell me? When I was in Rome, in Italy, several times. ministry. And I ran into these people. And they were under this persuasion of a church in Northern California. And they were doing grave sucking. Get out of here! That's necromancy! It's a covenant with death. What is your problem? You know, we haven't been taught the difference between the holy and the profane. Because God has grace and he forgives us of all our sins. And if your brother sins against you, forgive him 7 times 70. Yeah, if he comes to you and acknowledges that he's messed up and sinned and repents and is truly, truly repentant. Man, I screwed up. You know what? My church influenced me in this area. And I did this and it was inappropriate. Now, if it was real and you had intentions, then you need to follow through with them. Because that's basically the sin of this nation. That's why we have child trafficking, sex trafficking, all this stuff, you know, transvestites, mutilation, gender mutilation of children. We got queens instructing children in library stories. We have, you know, same-sex, you know, parents. This is all twisted. And it's so rotten. Because why? Because real sex is sacred. And so the enemy hates anything that's pure and clean and holy. And he uses that tabernacle. The tabernacles come together and there's a fusing in the spirit realm. But if that person's soul is defiled and other spirits are transacting there, and in their, you know, Christian man and wife, there's a transference there and it's disgusting. And the wife will usually, whoever the offender is, and I know it happened in my relationships, allegedly Christian relationships. And I knew that my husband was, there was something really wrong. Yeah, he was into pornography and having counterfeit relationships on the internet. Oh, yeah. Fantasy land. And it defiled his temple. And and they would bring to the marriage bed? No, thank you. Behind that is violence and murder. That's where the abortion comes in. Because we don't care that if God has called you into a relationship with someone and somebody else comes in and starts saying, I want that guy for me, or I want that woman for me. And they belong to somebody else in their destiny. It's written in their DNA. You are destroying the will of God in their life. Get your hands off. Oh, we have freedom to choose whoever we want. Yeah, you have freedom to go to hell if you want. You know, I don't care. If you want to go to hell, it's your choice. But if you want to be instructed in the narrow highway to holiness, that few enter in and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay, you've acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God. Great, that's a great first step. Get your hands off of what belongs to other people. It's called covetousness. And even though that person is not married or whatever, you're coveting their future and their destiny. And you will bring destruction on you. Yes, you will. And this sin and the death that you walked out of, you'll walk right back into. Hear me. Church is not a game. We're not here to kumbaya and make friends with phallic worshiping religions like the Catholic Church and Islam. Yeah. My friend told me, my prophetic guy, you know, up on Samuel's Mountain, okay, the prophet Samuel, that guy. He says those things are, those prayer towers for the Muslim, those are phallic symbols. Those are obelisks, okay, from Egypt, okay, that are in the Catholic Church in St. Peter's Square, that are at the Louvre Museum. Those are, they worship their phallus because it's sex magic. And you go around touching people inappropriately. Let me give you a hug. Out of here. It is not loving for you to do that because you don't understand the implications and the gravity of it in this time because you were part of it. So take that death shroud off, would you? Take that garment of filthy rags off of you because they're not redeemable. And burn them. You burn them. Hear me? Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because the day of slaughter is coming and phallic worship is idolatry. No, 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 no.